Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everybody. We've been gone for the last two, the Monday and Wednesday show, due to the fact that a hurricane came through Houston, and our producers are based just outside of Houston. They got everything knocked off and knocked down. They're slowly getting it back up. We hope to have most of our abilities for this show, but we're not really sure. But it's like we survived a hurricane. But it's great to be back. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. And already our folks are saying, hope everything is good with the BBS Radio Group. Thomas, our wonderful producer, who is sitting because they have a backup generator running things right now. So they have us on, but they have no air conditioning. And I was telling him, Chuck, we know what that's like. We've been in an office with no air conditioning. So he deserves hazard pay or something. But they are all okay. Everybody is safe. No property damage that they suffered, although he said there's a tree down on the entryway to get in. I don't know what the heck is going on with the CenterPoint power in Houston. I read the governor is investigating. Excuse us. Do you know what I mean? It was a category one hurricane. Not that that's bad, but why almost a week later do we not have power? I imagine when all is said and done, there'll be some questions that need to be answered there. But anyway, we are
not Houston. I mean, Houston these days is run like any Democratic city, and you know, it's a mess.
That's right. And we will post. There might be for people who tried to listen to us on Facebook, just sort of a programming message. Some of the ability to restream is limited a little bit, but it should all be back if the folks in Houston Power get their act together. But meanwhile, what a great party Friday day. Wanted to talk about, the debate, right? And Chuck watched the whole thing. I couldn't. To me, it just seemed like, first of all, once again, he had a teleprompter. No, I don't know if they had the answers up there.
You're talking about the press conference, not the debate.
The press conference. And, you know, they were clearly answers designed, for the most part, to let Biden go on and on and on and on and on about stuff no one cared about. But it didn't seem to do the trick. Brittany Pederson came out today, the esteemed Brittany Pederson from Colorado, and District 6.
Your
congresswoman, and said she wants Biden to resign. I mean, what your take on the press conference, Chuck?
You know, I think if you grade it on a scale with Biden, you know, you'd give him a C. If you grade it on anybody else in the world, it'd be a D. Because you have to reserve the F for his incredible
debate
performance. So C if you do it on a scale, D if it's just Biden and what you expect from Biden. But I think, as we've talked about so many times, this is a perfect deal for Republicans. This internecine warfare will continue for at least another week. If they push Biden out, they're going to lose a lot of their black voters, a lot of whatever working class voters they have left. If they leave Biden in, is everybody really happy to vote a vegetable in as president for 4 years? And a lot of people are, but
right. You know, they're just Democrats.
but they're insane and they're Democrats.
Well, yeah. And my thing is here's the thing. I thought Representative Himes, Connecticut Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, I thought kind of summed it up pretty well. And I can't believe I'm a person, arguably, in the world. And basically, now this is my paraphrase, we're judging his performance as okay because he didn't keel over or poop his pants live in the middle of a national debate or NATO speech, right? I mean, the standard for Joe Biden is so low that when you look at it, you're like, well, you know, it was awful. But, you know, yes, he confused Trump with Kamala Harris. Yes, he confused Zelensky and Putin. You know, yes, he kind of did weird whispering, then showed promoting things. And he kept saying, anyway, clearly he was losing his train of thought. But they're like, but he made it through. I mean, and that's the standard. And he has a point. He's like, that cannot be the standard for the president of the United States.
Well, the now, best part about it, it's only going to get worse.
Right.
I mean, today he's probably minusculely, or maybe more than minusculely, worse than yesterday. And you know, it'll, by the time November comes around, who knows what kind of mental disabled quality he'll have. If he wins, he has to give a victory speech and just drool.
Right. Well, and the, you know, they have just so many issues surrounding it, because I know we were talking with a friend today who said that they have liberal friends who want Gretchen Whitmer and things like that. And I think the conservatives' treehouse did a great job of saying, no, you got to understand this has nothing to do with who might make the best president, right, on the Democrat side. This has to do with politics, basically. And they were talking, and he talks about how Representative Clyburn, who runs essentially the ballot harvesting organizations in some of the key districts, right, in the key swing counties and the key swing precincts, that those people want a Black and African-American candidate. And that's what matters, right? If Biden doesn't pick Kamala Harris, then they won't back him, and it's worse. And the trouble is Kamala Harris really that much more better than, you know, Joe Biden? At this point, one would have to say probably yes. But I think the thing is it's not like they can afford like an open convention where there is actually a legitimate debate about who might be a good presidential candidate. It has to be someone the sort of electoral powers that be in the Democrat Party will get behind. And that has nothing to do with quality and everything to do probably with race, I would say, and just their very specific definition of who they want, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, you know, they're not going to get Gretchen Whitmer, and they're not going to get anybody, you know, Gavin Newsom. It's going to be Kamala Harris, and she's not senile. She's just a very low IQ idiot. So it's a wonderful, if they did have an open convention, wow, I think we'd have to go, because that'd be wild.
And this
by the way, we're heading to Milwaukee. We're both delegates there, and so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting live.
Yeah, broadcasting live from the convention center, or at least our hotel at the convention center.
That's right. And this is from Charlene. Consider the train wreck it would have been if Biden hadn't got all the questions and answers prior to the debate, plus dubbed up, plus a likely earpiece. Well, exactly. And that's the thing. But I think the lovely thing about this is, like you said, what happened last night was once again the best of all worlds for Republicans, because he didn't keel over, right? He didn't do something so humiliating, so debilitating that they just have to like take it to the hospital right away and that's it, right? We'll never see him again. But he didn't do so well because he can't, that it's like, oh shoot, that was just a fluky night of the night of the debate. This is Biden at his best. This is, and it's only going to get worse from here. And so if you're a Republican, and Chuck, I think you made a really good point. This is great, because he's awful. They don't really have any options that are going to make people happy. So it's just going to be, you know, this god awful for the Biden campaign. He's awful. He needs to go on and off. But I think you're right. You don't want to overdo it, because you don't want people to start feeling sorry for him, right?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, they had one poll where he's ahead by two after a couple of weeks of just incredibly debilitating mainstream media attacks, and he's doing slightly better because I think people feeling sorry for him. Oh, you know, he's such a decent, honorable crook.
Well, and we were talking, Peter Boyle stepped by the newspaper today to write his column, and we were talking about whether we think he's going to get out or not. And I'll say again, this is my theory. I don't think Biden is going to get out. I think because he's got the nomination, he will have to essentially voluntarily quit. His entire corrupt family business model is based on being able to sell influence to Joe. Even you know, a dementia-ridden Joe as president, you can sell, right? It's because somebody has access. And so if he leaves, then he's nothing, right? The whole family business model crumbles. No one's going to pay for Hunter's artwork. No one's going to pay for Hunter's legal cases. Jill isn't going to get to be on the cover of Vogue magazine. Joe disappears, you know, into the dustbin of former presidents. you know, and so what could they offer him really that would be better than being the
Oh, can
president?
you imagine? They've raised hundreds of millions. They say, okay, 100 million for Hunter, 100 million for your brother, and 100 million for you and Jill. Jill gets her own separate 100
Yeah,
million.
Jill, yeah.
Yeah,
We'll put it
and
into.
just please go away. And
Yeah.
they go, and I don't know, maybe.
Well, but I think it's more than that. I think you made the good point with Peter that, you know, Biden also has a chip on his shoulder, right? He's not one
Yes,
of the
very
golden
much.
boys when you get right down to it. He doesn't
No.
get invited to George Clooney's yacht like the Obamas
No,
did.
no.
And I could see, and I don't think he likes Obama. Obama, I don't think likes him. I could see
Oh,
Joe
Obama
Biden.
doesn't care. Obama is incredibly patronizing to him, like his arm on his back. You know, that wasn't a friendly gesture. That was a shoving gesture of somebody, you know, trying to get this fuddy-dud off the stage. I mean,
Right.
it was just, and Obama has dished him, you know, they all laugh behind their backs at him.
Right.
He's the Obama screwed him by promoting Hillary Clinton in 2016, 2020. He told him, you don't have to do this, Joe. And Joe goes, yeah, well, I want to, buddy.
Yeah.
So they're not friends. It's repeated by Paul Begala and others that what Biden wants to be or Obama wants to be to Biden is a sounding board and backup counselor. Yeah, and while sticking a knife in his back,
That's right. That's right. You
Joe
want
is
his
in.
sounding board. He'll pound his head into the board. Yeah. So that's just my take is, you know, maybe now Monica Crawley was tweeting. She had an interesting theory that maybe they will release the Robert Hurd tapes. Remember those? He's the guy who interviewed Joe Biden about the documents that Biden illegally took and said that they couldn't charge him because he came across as a senile, but somewhat friendly, but confused old man. And you gotta wonder if a couple of things. So they released the transcripts, but as we're seeing, like the radio station that releases the transcripts, right? They edit stuff out. So
Right.
she's theorizing that maybe they will release the actual transcripts, right? And do that and that will cause enough for, but again, I think it goes back to get him out if he doesn't want to go would be so ugly and so brutal. You know, I don't know if you're the Democrats. I don't know. I just don't think Joe Biden's going to go. I don't think he cares. And I'm not so sure he's making decisions. I suspect that the people around him are telling him he's doing just like Jill at that night after the debate. She said, "You answered all of the questions, Joe. You did a great job." I'm sure that's what they're telling him, right? And he doesn't know. And Jill becomes nothing. Hunter becomes nothing. You know, his brother becomes nothing. His sister, nothing if he goes away. If I were them, I would risk it, right? When either way, you know, you might not be president, but at least you might be president if you stay in the game.
And moreover, what is his life expectancy at 81 with somebody who appears to have Parkinson's disease? You know, he'll die in office and, you know, get a great state funeral and everything else. I mean, not a
Yeah,
bad
good.
gig. Yeah, everybody kind of, all the White House staff just floating over you and helping you out and the chef and everybody else. No, you go to Rehoboth Beach house. No, there's none of that.
No, none of that. So here's this is from Charlene. What about Hillary? Is she waiting in the wings? Hillary is always waiting in the wings. She'll be like
That's
on her
true.
deathbed and she'll be saying, "Have they called yet? I'm willing to accept the nomination." But I don't think she will get it. Ashley Judd wants Biden to drop out. Stephen King, Rob Reiner want him to drop out. And this from Charlene. It's all political theater now to make it look like they care about the delegates selected Biden over no preference. And Karen Kathleen has a conspiracy theory here. She says we're all being fed a load of hooey. These are there are the whomevers, people who know exactly what will happen. Even the supposed dissension in the Democrat Party is political theater for public consumption. After everything we've watched, do you really think the media would suddenly act independently unless they were given permission? If you agree with that, then you know that this is being orchestrated. We're all consumed with trying to guess the ending. And then from James, Sleepy Joe's whole election and presidency was scripted by the people behind the scenes who have the real power. Wish we could identify them. He was never smart enough to do it himself. And then Charlene says about Karen's, maybe it's no conspiracy theory, a conspiracy fact. Well, I do agree with you here, Karen. I mean, I think though, That yes, I think there are some people, you're right, we're consumed with trying to figure out what will happen. And I will say it's good for Republicans. But I don't think they orchestrated this degree of dissension within the party or division within the party on purpose. I think that to a certain extent, no one realized in the Democrat side just how bad Biden was. Now, we knew it, but
they
I think
did. They did.
Some did, but I didn't think.
No, they all did. They all. Anybody had to just call anybody on the inside. Ron Klain.
Like, why did they let him do the debate?
Jill did that. You know, she said, he can do it. He can do it. And, you know, Hunter's going, he can do it. He can do it. Everybody's like, no, no. I mean, probably that's why the press conference start an hour late. They're like, no, no, don't put them out there.
All right, well, maybe. So maybe Jill and Hunter are. I do think that there has been all along a conspiracy. I agree with you on this, Karen and Charlene, to not have him be the nominee. And then somehow he became the nominee. And I think there were some who, you know, were hoping the debate would get him out. But I don't know, because I don't think that this is good for the Democrat Party in that I think it just hurts them on election day. I think that there are a lot of people, and again, this is anecdotal, but just sort of general people I talk to, and I'm going to once again throw my daughter under the bus, who doesn't like Trump, was kind of ambivalent about Biden, but now doesn't like Biden. But her reaction is, I'm just not going to vote. You know, heck with all of them, right? And she's just going on living her life and trying to deal with inflation the best she can. And I think Chuck, what do you think? The enthusiasm level will hurt them.
Really, at least on my, oh, you're back. You're back. You know, we got this Houston power coming through. So it kind of.
Oh, did you lose me?
We lost you. And it says your internet connection is unstable. All right.
Okay.
We're unstable here.
Hey, Charlene, go ahead.
Yeah, they did the debate to get the public aware of how out of it Biden was, because they had been lying to the public for so long. It was the opportunity for the public to see that they had to oust Biden. And now they're just doing the kind of the slow walk, so it won't look like it's so orchestrated. I mean, you know, it's the perfect Hegelian dialectic, you know, the problem, the reaction, and the predetermined solution. And the only question now is, what is the predetermined solution? Who is the one they're going to put in there? I mean, that's, to me, this all is just playing out, you know, like they wanted it to. And we're just, I mean, you know, we're enjoying it, of course. But
no, of course.
Yeah, I think let me ask you this. The only problem I have with that is, though, so why hasn't Biden stepped down? Is he part of the conspiracy, too? Or is he throwing a glitch into their works?
Well, I think he may be giving them time, buying time to figure out who they're going to put in there. I mean, there may be a battle going on behind the scenes between Newsom versus Clinton, or, you know, Kamala may be saying, I'm staying in here, folks. You know, there may be a lot of that going on behind the scenes. And if he withdraws and it rushes up the selection, you know, and they're not ready, they're not decided on who the selection is. Yeah, that's just my two cents worth.
Can
okay,
I weigh in?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Somebody else wants to weigh in. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Karen.
Oh, hey, Karen.
Hi, everyone. Boy, I just love when I get to disagree with you a little bit.
Yay.
It's so rare. And I don't profess to know how it's all going to end, but it stinks to high heaven, because I don't think that they're infallible. Don't get me wrong. I don't think everything was planned. I think they make mistakes. The biggest mistake they ever made, and they knew it, was letting Trump squeak in 2016. He was never supposed to. And that's one of the reasons they're hysterical the way they are. But I think that was planned too. I mean, it wasn't planned for Trump to get in. So looking at now, it's a long way from July to November, and they love creating drama. And the feeling that I'm getting, and I can't back this up on anything, is that for 4 years, Biden's administration was about hating Trump and claiming that Trump had power he did not have. He was out of power, and yet they wanted to divert attention from Biden's disasters, or use him as a fall guy, which he always was, to blame him. Now they want to suck all the air out of the room and create all this drama so that it's all about will he or won't he or what will happen, so that Trump's story gets buried on the back page. I think they're waiting until the Republican convention is over, and then something dramatic is going to happen in the Democrat convention, and it's going to all be about the underdog, whoever it is, who everybody's going to rally against to beat the big bad Donald Trump. It's all theater, and that doesn't mean that things don't happen that they didn't expect.
Right.
But I do think these guys, this is the biggest, most important thing they've got going, and that's holding power. That's all they've ever cared about. They would not leave this to chance at all.
No,
they just wouldn't do it. It's not in character.
That's, well, and I, you know, I don't know that I totally agree with you, but I think, though, then Chuck and I were talking about this earlier, that I think your timing is right, right? And I think that at a certain point, it's good for Republicans to have this sort of resolved as well, because the longer it goes on, you're right, it does, people kind of forget about Donald Trump and how he's being persecuted and things like that. And it does take away from the fact that I went to McDonald's today with Rev and it was $18 just to feed. Now, granted, he's 13, so he eats a lot. But I mean, every day there are moms like me going to McDonald's and going, how much? And that's even if you use your mobile app, right? I mean, it's like they've got issues. They've got immigration. They've got issues out the wazoo. And you're right. No one's actually talking about those things. So
one other thought, and then I'll shut up. And that is that I've seen the pattern also of how the Democrats love to give false hope to Republicans early on in the campaign. And lots of people who are very naive and gullible will say, Trump's going to win, Trump's going to win, Trump's going to win. It's going to be a landslide. That's deadly bad. And they love letting Republicans think that. And they love dividing and conquering and letting some Democrats think it's a hopeless case, so they'll work harder.
Yeah.
A lot of the useful idiots think they're on the inside when they're really not. There's a very small number of people who really know what's going on, and they love chaos and they love drama.
Well, who are those people in your mind? Who are those people?
I call them the whomevers, because we don't know.
Oh.
And we've never known. We talk about people, but they're mostly people, either they're unelected bureaucrats, but they're also people who love being behind the scenes. Everybody points to George Soros, and I think, and it's not him anymore, it's his awful son.
Whom Abedin is now engaged to.
Yeah, whom Abedin is married.
Don't you love it? I mean, there's no, I mean, you can't call it a conspiracy. You can call it a lot of
God.
Things. But you
I
can't
just thought of something. What if Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's former person, who was married to what's his name, and George Soros' son have children? Can you imagine?
That would be- well, and what about George Clooney's horrible pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas wife?
Right.
I mean, these people and others. And frankly, they said George Clooney isn't that bright.
Right.
And it was, they say Obama wrote that letter to the Times. And I never thought Obama was that bright. But there are people.
Well, that, his wife is that bright. So maybe she
George Clooney's wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And so we don't know. And a lot of people always fill in the blanks when they don't know. But when the chips are down and you can tell that this is orchestrated, you got to go with that. Okay.
Oh, no, that's perfect. Yeah. Right. And Charlene says, good point. Sucking the air out of Trump's meteoric rise with Latinos, Blacks, poll numbers, etc. Hopefully, though, the timing might be a little off for them in that the Republican convention is next week. And Chuck, I think they're going to have to talk about that. I think Trump is playing it very well, kind of keeping everybody guessing as to who his vice presidential candidate is going to be. Oh, and then Dr. Donna came in after we started. Did we discuss the latest Rhino Watch report? No, but we're going to that next, Dr. Donna. But I think, you know, I think Thomas, just, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and skip the Michael Bennett sound bites. But we did want to show. Okay. We'll get into that. I want to show your speech writers, because this is another part of Biden's problem. But Charlene is saying, who do you think his vice presidential pick is, Chuck?
I'm going to be Burgum.
Yeah, but Karl Rove likes him. Isn't that the kiss of death?
Well, and so does Cox, who is the governor of Utah who's not going to vote for Trump. But he told them who to have as his vice president. They can't have J.D. Vance because J.D.'s too good. He's too smart.
But he's young. I mean, he's youngish, right?
38. I mean, he's very young for that
right.
kind of deal. So I think it's going to be Doug Burgum. And just because, you know, everything he's done, including rejecting the plan 2025 and
right.
doing the abortion plank and everything else, he's playing. If 2016, he was outrageous doing whatever he wanted. Now he's kind of playing it cards close to the chest. So if it is J.D. Vance, I'd be thrilled if it's the...
The Treehouse calls him, says he's a... Okay, so Leo, the choice should be either Vivek or Tulsi. Here's the only thing I'll say to that, Leo. I like both of them. I bet if you're Trump, I would put Vivek in the cabinet somewhere or put him somewhere in his administration. Vivek,
well,
is too smart.
The press hates... surprises for vice presidential picks. I mean, when Bush picked out Dan Quayle, you know, nobody had heard of him. And so all they did was
attack him.
So if he, you know, they've said it, okay, it's one of three people. Now it's down to two. And then they go off the wall and pick Tulsi Gabbard. You know, it will not be smart. And the smart move is to, you know, broadcast who you're going to pick and let everybody kind of yell
at him. What about Ben Carson? I mean,
yeah,
he'd be
awful. He'd be awful, yeah.
Why would he be awful?
Well, you know, he's kind of low energy and nice guy. And you know, so if they want to get rid of Trump, they'd probably love to get Ben Carson and beat him up. But I think it's going to either be Burgum or J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance, okay.
Yeah.
And Thomas says he can play the Bennett clips. Okay, so I wanted to play, before we get to the Rhino Watch report and the traitors in the Republican Party going just bonkers, I thought it was odd, and this kind of feeds into, Karen, you and Charlene and the conspiracy facts, as Charlene would say. Michael Bennett, who was probably one of... He's kind of like...
We didn't even know he was alive.
Right.
Michael Bennett, I thought he died last year. I mean,
right. I mean, he's sort of like the Doug Lamborn of the Democrat Party, right? It's like, what? Is he still around? So theoretically, he's trying to have us believe. So the senators had a meeting where they talked about getting rid of Biden, and somebody leaked to CNN that Bennett said he didn't think that Biden should stick around.
As an honest man, as an honest broker.
So he decides to go on CNN. Right. So something's going on there. But he did seem sincerely concerned about the whole thing. If we could please play. I mean, Michael Bennett, Colorado's most uncontroversial, most boring senator, except for John Hickenlooper. If we could please play the Bennett number one soundbite.
You, Senator John Tester and Senator Sherrod Brown, all said during that lunch that you don't think President Biden can win in 2024. Is that true?
Well, it's true that I said that. And I did say that behind closed doors. And you guys and others asked whether I had said it. And that is what I said. So I figured I should come here and say it publicly.
Why do you think he can't win in November?
I just think this race is on a trajectory that is very worrisome if you care about the future of this country. Joe Biden was 9 points up at this time, the last time he was running. Hillary Clinton was 5 points up. This is the first time in more than 20 years that a Republican president has been up in this part of the campaign. Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House. And so for me, this isn't a question about polling. It's not a question about politics. It's a moral question about the future of our country, and I think it's critically important for us to come to grips with what we face if together we put this country on the path of electing Donald Trump again.
So you're worried that your party is not just going to lose the White House if Joe Biden is at the top of the ticket, but that you're also going to lose both chambers of Congress?
I think that we could lose the whole thing, and it's staggering to me. I mean, Donald Trump's already been president.
Well, yeah, what always annoys me is he forgets the fact that, like, hello, at least half of the country voted for Donald Trump, right? It's like, they always try to make the
Those people are crazy.
Yeah, he always makes it sound like there's like three people who are somehow going to play this coup. But here again, though, and he was weaselly, he stopped short. He's kind of like Nancy Pelosi when he kept saying, well, you know, I'll support Joe in whatever decision he's made. And like, well, he's made a decision. She's like, well, I'll support it when he makes it. So he stopped short, though, of saying that he should step aside. If we could please play Bennett number two.
I'm sure President Biden has a different view of his prospects in this election than I do, but we should be having a discussion about that. And the White House, in the time since that disastrous debate, I think has done nothing to really demonstrate that they have a plan to win this election, that they have a convincing plan to win in the battleground states where we have to win in order to win this election.
So are you
and they need to do that. They have to demonstrate that to the American people. And by the way, this is not about ignoring the American people's concerns. It's not about brushing off the American people's concerns. They have to address the American people's concerns. The people that I represent from Colorado have deep concerns about whether or not the president can win this race.
So, you know, I don't know if that's from Dr. Donna Biden's capable of having a view. From Jacob, the enemy is afraid of Colorado going red. Yeah, the polls sort of show an internal leak poll, and who knows, but that, you know, Donald Trump is certainly within striking distance, within the margin of error there. So, yeah, from Charlene, oh, Bennett, such an old scaly swamp creature, heavy dredging him up for comment. Yeah, I don't know. Here's what I think. I think that they should have Kamala Harris be president, and they should let Jared Polis be the vice president. Candidate. Maybe that.
Well, look, you hear that our beloved governor has become the head of the Democratic Governors Association. So he'll be playing a prominent role.
And Thomas, I don't know. I forgot to ask you this. Were you able to pull the still picture that I sent you? Because if we can, we'll show that. Because
that's my favorite picture.
This is the depths of Biden's problem here. Okay. Oh, he says, give him one moment. When you look at like who's actually, all of this does sort of beg the question, who is running things at the White House, whether they're going to get rid of Biden or not. And you do hear, it's a kind of leaking we saw during the Trump campaign, right? Where people are like, you know, I don't know. We just sort of send a piece of paper under the door and say, what's he thinking about Ukraine, you know, kind of thing. Or what's he thinking about Gaza? And then another piece of paper comes like out from, you know, with the answer. They're like, we have no idea.
With a very feminine script, you know.
Yeah.
Jill's in there.
Yeah. Okay. Yay. So this picture of these young, I don't know, adolescent, cheerful, whatever they are, you know, this is Biden's speech writing team. Now, number one, can you imagine writing a coherent speech? You've had that many people working on a speech, right? Oh, the Zoom crash. Okay. So I don't know. What's the oldest look? I don't know. I don't think they're in braces, any of them still, but still.
Well, this is the one on the bottom showing off her new teeth after the braces. But you may notice there are only two non-diverse males in the picture, and they're on the upper right-hand corner. And they're on their computers actually working. The rest of the diverse staff is not working. Oh, they're just smiling and having a great time. And those other two guys in the corner are actually getting something
done.
And
they're actually writing the speech, right? There's a good point. That's a good point. You're right. That is a very diverse crowd. And yet Thomas is showing those are the two guys there who are working. They're like, yeah, and that's Corinne, whatever face is Corinne, who's like, yay, this is our team. And it's like, so that's Biden's problem. These guys, the guys in the back are like, does anyone here realize we are in a crisis? Does anyone here get what's going on? Did anyone here actually watch?
This is
watch
the day after the debate.
Yeah. So, and I don't know which one of them put in the speech that Putin was Zelensky. I don't know. Yeah, that was sort of an era too. I could see them. Putin, Zelensky, they're those, you know, European-y names. So
I love that picture.
Yeah, from Thomas, that's the debate after party. Yeah, no clue that things are going bad, except for those two guys in the back who were sending out their resumes, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so you want to switch gears. We can talk about, Rhino Watch came out this morning, and we've talked before about Trader Todd Watkins' push to submit these fake petitions. And we had Jeff Koch, grassroots activist, Chuck, wake up. Tim Leonard on the show talking about these petitions, so-called petitions that Todd submitted to call for a meeting to oust grassroots chair Dave Williams. It's just like a list of names, right? There were no signatures, no email verifications, no verifications that these were people who were qualified to vote. There was no actual indication of what the petition actually said. Do you know what I mean? And so there was a meeting, and Hope Shuppelman, the vice chair, put out a press statement earlier this week saying that the executive committee voted that this fake meeting that Todd is trying to set up is illegal and improper, right?
Yes, that's right. And I am on the executive committee, and I was a scrivener for the executive committee for what they decided, and we're sending that out right now. They found his petition invalid. They canceled the meeting that he set up on the 27th, and also got rid of one from the real party on the 19th. It really was sort of amazing in the opinion. Not opinion, the rendition really points out that they really just sent out a bunch of names and said, give us a meeting. And if they did that, anybody could just bollocks up the party with endlessly having to set up meetings. You only have 10 days to actually set the meeting. And so you'd spend 10 days trying to get a hold of people, some you'd never get a hold of.
Right. Well,
and most you wouldn't get a hold of.
Here's my thing is so again, these are the same rhinos who always say unity, unity, right? When you keep in mind that the rhinos actually won, their candidates won, right? And rather than actually
money from
from Americans for Prosperity, but rather than actually working on getting their candidates elected, now they are spending their time and efforts and a certain degree of legal effort as well, trying to destroy the party from within. And my thing is, you know what, in a few months after November, they can elect a whole new party chair if they want, right?
Yeah, in March.
In March. So what, you know, why not just leave it be? And I think Vicky Tompkins, who Todd Watkins also tried to get rid of her, nailed it. And she also put out a press release too, saying that, you know, what this is a group of never Trumpers. So here's why they're doing it. And here's why they're doing it now. They're doing it now, I think, in part because Trump is doing well in Colorado. And these people fear more than any, they hate Trump, number one. Right. They don't want Trump to win. These rhinos, establishment elite in the Colorado Republican Party, and they hate grassroots Trump supporters. And the one thing they really fear is that what if Trump actually takes Colorado, which is in play right now, right? And all that's going to do is strengthen Trump, and it's going to strengthen the grassroots. So they need to do everything they can to destroy the Republican Party. And they generate these fake new headlines. And again, I go back to, there's no disarray in the party. You have a handful of rhino elites who just want to hold on to power and disrupt things. And everybody else is fine. Everyone else is like, hey, let's work towards getting Republicans elected in November. And this handful with the cooperative corrupt media just generates these fake news headlines.
Well, they represent the donor class and the donors.
Right. Trying to make Republicans look bad at a time when we should all be, you know, having the party of our lifetime, so to speak. And so keep in mind, that's why they're doing it. They hate Trump. They hate us. They can't stand the fact that grassroots, populist Trump, the America First agenda might actually gain some footing in Colorado, for God's sakes.
Well, their excuse. The excuse for the 2022 debacle and everything else has always been, it's Trump's fault. And if
right.
Trump wins, then they go, oh, well, huh.
Right, exactly. They have nothing. And they would literally, I mean, this is what they're doing. They would literally rather hurt their candidates, see their candidates, their own handpicked candidates lose, than see Trump and the grassroots hang on to any kind of power in Colorado. I mean,
it
is.
They also hate the opt-out, which is the, you know, getting rid of having Democrats and Democratic leading unaffiliates choose our candidates like Joe O'Day.
Right.
They're terrified of that. They have real conservatives, you know, nominated by the Republican Party.
And so when you think about it, there's a guy, his name is Lou Webb, and I'm not sure, he's some one of those, I think, is he part of the Pueblo Mafia? Maybe, I'm not sure. But so
I think he's in La Plata.
La Plata County. Okay, so the Colorado Republican Party was going to hold, and they're not anymore, a meeting in July at a fairgrounds there, at a pavilion there, right? So what this guy did to prevent that from happening is he, along with Trader Todd Watkins, rented out the pavilion, apparently, right? And then sent a cease and desist letter to the Republican Party saying they couldn't even go on the property. It's like, wait, what? You can't, I mean, it's like, forget First Amendment. It's like, we have rented this and you can't even come on the property in an effort to stop a meeting that isn't going to be held in the first place.
They're great.
So think of this. So they got Jeff Hurdon is their candidate. Why not spend the time and effort that they're putting into stopping a meeting that wasn't going to be held in the first place from occurring? They spent time, money, legal effort into that. Why not put that same kind of effort into getting their candidate Jeff Hurd elected? I mean, it's just ludicrous, you know?
Well, it's indicative. It's indicative. The donor class does not care how badly the Republican Party does. I mean, they've been great at ruining it for the last 10 years,
Right.
and they just want to be able to, have a rump of a party that they can kind of sell down the street to POLUS for some tax breaks for the rich guys. I mean, that's
Yeah.
really what it comes down to.
And this is from Charlene. Wouldn't it be odd if Trump and Boebert won Colorado, but the rhinos lost to the Democrats at the congressional races? Yes. Leo says all these people need to be Clinton. Oh, that reminds me. Did you see there was a back to the presidential thing? There was a funny thing in Babylonian Bee, a tweet where it showed, remember the hullabaloo about the O'Biden chef that like drowned in like 2 feet of water in Martha's
No,
Vineyard, right?
that was Obama's chef, yeah.
Right, the surfboard people. So there's a picture of Biden of Obama with his arm around Joe Biden saying, "Hey, Joe, have you ever tried surfing? Have you tried
Well,
waterboarding? We've got a great place in
come up
Martha's
this
Vineyard."
weekend to Martha's Vineyard, and we can go out for the pond.
Yeah. And then, oh, Joe Biden dies in 2 feet of water there. So it is great for memes too, I will say this. So that's Leo, right. They all need to be Clinton. That's pretty funny. You know what? I think that's where we're going to go ahead because I know you're at the paper trying to wrap things up.
Oh, we got more time. I want to talk
Okay.
more about the Republican Party and really what's going on and the sadness of it all. You have all these people, and it's true. It's even with some grassroots people that we know and like and everything else, and they're afraid they're going to use some old voting machine, non-computer, everything else, because it. We were at the convention, and even to just one vote took 3.5 hours. And for them, that was the end of the world. They were grassroots, but they didn't care. They didn't care that the next person is going to be an establishment swamp creature. They just were determined that no, you can't hand count this. You have to, even though we don't have the capacity. I was interested. They just did a vote over in England, and Julie, when you go to see you go to the to the elections, usually the people counting that in fact they're old and tired, and the same thing for the county elections. They're usually some really old people that have trouble with even adding. So they have these super counters. These mathematical geniuses who can really count, well, I guess maybe it's more
In
dexterity
England,
than people.
they don't have like 800-year-old volunteers who can't see, right?
Right.
They have actual sort of like professional counters, basically.
Yes, yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Well, that's a way to do it. Well, and
But
this from Leo. Oh, go ahead.
no, go ahead.
Imagine filling out a paper ballot and showing your ID. Yeah, that is good, though. On the one hand, the Republicans passed, although it won't go anywhere, the SAVE Act, right? Saying you have to be an American citizen to vote in a federal election.
Forget that.
You wouldn't think now that that'll never pass. And again, you got to say to Biden, that's part of their plan, right? Is it is as the treehouse says, you don't actually need voters. What you need are ballots, right?
Right,
And you
right.
need names to put a ballot to, and
Right.
then you can mail that ballot wherever you feel like. And it's especially helpful if the illegal immigrant whose name that you have has no idea that they're receiving a ballot, right? So they're not going to call up and say, "Hey, I didn't get my ballot," right? Although they'd have to say it in Spanish. But you know what I mean? So you just fill out these names, and I think that's part of the thing. That's the only reason you would veto that bill, right? And I mean, when you read it, I mean, it allows all, it makes it very easy to vote. It doesn't make it harder to vote. It just says you have to show some sort of proof of citizenship before you can be put on the voter rolls.
Right. You think that'd be very easy. And of course, they're against it because they're fraudulent. I mean,
Right.
they talk about our democracy, and our democracy means electing Democrats. That's our democracy is always electing Democrats.
But as we've seen with this Biden thing, not just any Democrat. Only the Democrats, they tell the Democrats they can vote for, right? It's so funny, the people who want to preserve democracy and the people who were worried about Donald Trump not leaving the White House now have Joe Biden in there, right? And they're trying to get rid of Joe Biden. It's like, we know all you people voted for Joe Biden, but we don't like him, so he's got to go, you
Well,
know?
one of the things that Joe did in his press conference is he released all his delegates. He said, sure, they can vote for whoever they want to. Really? You've released all your delegates? I mean, they're kind of going, no, Joe, they can't. They're restricted by state law and other things to vote for you. And, don't ask him questions where he can take some action because, are we going to nuke Russia? Yes, I think we should. I'll set that in motion right now. Bring in the
Zelensky,
football.
well, that president, Zelensky of Ukraine is going to nuke Russia. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. But I think you're right back to the Colorado Republicans. It is just don't be fooled and don't buy into their whole thing that the Republican Party is in disarray. Again, that's the headline they want. And they would rather hurt the party than actually even have their candidates win. You'd think, what on earth are the rhinos upset about? They got pretty much everything they wanted, right?
Right.
And
that's not enough.
That no, that's not enough. And that's because they are at heart, they are never Trumpers. They're against the America First grassroots agenda or policies or even philosophy.
The uniparty Democratic Republicans. And they always say, the same but less. We're all in on the grooming of kids. We like the grooming, and we like the illegal voting, and we like the border open. And of course, we believe in climate change. We must totally gut our manufacturing thing in order to have a green agenda. Oh, got to have that. Just
Right. Well,
got to
because
have
it
that.
is hot in Colorado today, Chuck. It's 100 degrees, and that's climate change, don't you know? Climate
Of
change, and
course,
it's
of course.
dangerous. And thank goodness, everybody, Jared Polis, I think, declared a state emergency. We've heard
Oh,
that
good.
before because of the avian flu, right? So
Oh, really? I
now I
hadn't heard
guess
that. Wow.
if things don't snap up, we're all going to be closed down again because of the avian flu, whatever that is. Oh yeah, Dr. Donna says her opponent is an ordained minister who sees nothing wrong with mutilating children. Yeah, it's the Democrat agenda is, well, that's all they have. It's insane. So we will be then to next week at the Republican National Convention.
Live.
You're an
Live.
actual delegate. I'm an alternate delegate, but I might get bumped up to being a real delegate. That's not clear yet. And so it should be pretty interesting, right? I mean,
Oh, it should
I've
be
never, you've been to
fascinating.
one,
It's
but I think it
going to
should
be
be.
fascinating.
Yeah, oh, I think so too. And we'll report live. I'm not sure when Trump is going to announce. My guess is he will announce a vice presidential candidate
Monday.
some. Yeah.
Probably Monday.
I don't think he'll do it at the convention. He might do it right before. I don't know. You never know. That would get coverage of it, wouldn't it? It'd force him to
No, I mean,
cover
he
it.
should do it. He say, my vice presidential pick is.
Oh, and then what he should do is kind of the way he did. He should have like smoky dry ice stuff and have the
Yeah.
person kind of walk out in silhouette, and then boom, they come into the lights and we all go like, who? No, we all say who it
Yeah, we
is.
all go, what?
That would be
Mitt
kind of fun.
Romney? You're saying
Yeah.
Mitt Romney?
But we'll be reporting there, and it should be fascinating. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was at the 2016 convention, as you can see by my shirt, and with Peter Boyles, and we were broadcasting live there. And I had the best time. It really was the
it
best
should it
time.
it should be a lot of fun. So I want to thank the guys at BBS for, because I know they pulled out, alternate generators, all the stops to try to get everything done. Karen Kathleen, I hope you're doing okay down
Yes.
there too. And anyone in Texas who's listening, I hope your power gets turned on because of climate
Eventually. You're
change.
blessed. We're doing great.
Okay, good. Okay,
Yeah,
good. All right. So thank you to everybody. We are so glad to be back on Party Friday.
take care, and we'll see you from the convention.